Please turn to Psalm 118, and to remind people who listen to us on sermon audio, we're using the New King James Version, and let us hear together this last of the Psalms of the Great Hallel. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on Jehovah in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me. But in the name of Jehovah I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of Jehovah I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does violently. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me, and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, Jehovah. O Jehovah, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to Jehovah, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. We not too infrequently sing portions from this psalm, and it is different from every one of the other psalms of the Great Hallel. That is, Psalms 113, 114, 115, 116, and 117, that the Jews did and somewhat still do use at the time of the Passover. It is this extended portion of the Psalms that was sung by Jesus and his disciples in the upper room at that last real Passover and that first of the Lord's Supper. When they had sung a hymn, we read, they went out, this is the hymn. If you've ever wondered what it was he sang, what it was they sang before they started on their journey to the Mount of Olives, it was some portion of Psalms 113 through 118, probably, in fact, Psalm 118 here, as the evening ended. There's something different about this psalm then from the others in this series. And it does not begin, nor does it end with the words, Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord. It starts and ends with this phrase, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Why would the last psalm of those sung at the Passover begin and end with that phrase instead of the phrase, Hallelujah? After all, isn't this the great Hallel? Well, by the time the Passover meal was finished, all that it signified had been brought to pass. In the original time of the Passover there in Egypt, why once the meal was eaten, without the bones being broken, when the lamb was consumed, its blood having been put on the door lintel and the posts, why, that which was signified was being brought about, the deliverance from Egypt. And the people looked back from their own time, looked back to that redemption God worked there in Egypt. But do you remember, we've seen this also, they look forward to another lamb that God would provide, to blood which would do more than the blood of all the bulls and goats and sheep ever sacrificed. They looked ahead to one who would be consumed, whose death would bring life to his people, even as before in Egypt. The firstborn had lived because of the death of the lamb. Because of the death of the lamb, there is life for the household of the people of God. They looked forward to that. And then once the lamb was consumed, why, the redemption was accomplished, wasn't it? That was the case there in Egypt. And it has been the case when the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, finishes His work, when His blood is shed, when He is consumed by the curse of God there at the cross, why, it is then the redemption is accomplished. We praise Him, yes, indeed, but now we come to this wonderful conclusion. We give thanks for His once for all accomplished work there at the cross, for by the shedding of His blood, we live. And everyone lives who places their trust in Him. Well, as we look at this concluding psalm then, very quickly, we start out in the first four verses in an exhortation for everyone, to be giving Him thanks. And to be acclaiming His mercy. Mercy is a wonderful thing. Do you remember the difference between it and grace? They're together in many ways, but they're a slightly different way of looking at things. In grace, God gives us good that we do not deserve. In mercy, He withholds from us the judgment that we deserve. We get goodness we don't deserve. We don't get badness that we do deserve. Sinners get mercy. There's no need for mercy for those who are perfected and righteous. But there is mercy for sinners. And those who know of the mercy of God, the mercy that He extends to us by giving His Son for us, by forgiving our sin in Him and not giving us what we deserve. Why, that is mercy indeed, and all of His people must acknowledge it. Say, don't we delight to do so? We then look at verses 5 and on down through 18, and we see in all the difficulties, the psalmist, whoever it was, we don't know the human that wrote this. We know, of course, that the Holy Spirit is speaking through him inerrantly. But in 5 through 8, the psalmist is talking about all the hardship and difficulty that Jehovah brought him through, all the way he brought him, all the way through difficulty, but all the way. It's then in verses 19 through 24, let's say, that we see him then rejoicing in the exaltation that God has brought him to. And lastly, in verses 25 through 29, we see the response of the people around. Now, we don't know, as I say, who wrote this. We can't say that it relates to the experiences of David or Asaph or Ethan the Ezrahite or any of other authors, Moses, that we have in the book of Psalms. But what we can say is this: it, like every other psalm, points to Jesus Christ. We know this from Jesus' words in Luke 24, verse 44, that the psalms speak of him. But we know this in particular, as you read through here, you must have been thinking, wait a minute, Don't I remember some of these words in the New Testament? Yes, indeed you do. The day after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, we see him telling parables and challenging the leaders of the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, and basically quoting here from verses 22 and 23, telling them, warning them that he was this stone that they were about to reject. And you can read about that in Matthew chapter 21. You can, if you know the Hebrew behind verse 25, think of that triumphal entry as well. Save now, I pray, Jehovah. O Jehovah, I pray, send now prosperity. In the Hebrew, that is, that first line, save now, I pray, Hoshiana. Hoshiana. Doesn't that sound like Hosanna? Yeah, sure does. You know why? Because Hosanna is just our anglicizing of that Hebrew. Hoshiana. Hoshiana. Save now, I pray. And do we not remember as the people were waving the palm branches and laying their cloaks down before him in his triumphal entry? Do we not remember them crying out, blessed be he who comes in the name of Jehovah. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. Indeed, it wasn't something rehearsed. It was the moving of the Spirit of God on the people's hearts that led them to fulfill all this. He is the King, anointed by God and established on his throne in the heavenly Zion. He is coming again, of course, but he reigns as King even now. The Lord brought him through his life of difficulty, brought him through all the contradiction of sinners, brought him through all the temptation that he has exactly like us, brought him through even to the point of death at the cross. But Jesus remained obedient, sustained by his Father's Holy Spirit. Jesus remained and obeyed actively and passively there at the cross, living perfectly in our place, dying atoningly in our place, and then because he paid the penalty, he said it is finished, he was raised since the grave could not hold him. And even now he has ascended to heaven where he reigns over all things, and the kings of the earth have nothing on him. We sometimes quote from Psalm 24 being silly, being a little ironic sometimes. We'll have a bit of a bad day, you know, one of those days where everything goes wrong, and you run into all the red lights and all that sort of thing, and you kind of ironically say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a twisting of God's word. Don't do that. See it in its real meaning. It is rejoicing in the fact that we live in the day when Jesus is exalted. Jesus is victorious. And Jesus rules all things now for his glory and for the good of his bride whom he loves. Well, as we sing from Psalm 118 now, we're going to use part A, I think we agreed on at the prayer meeting. As we sing from it, let us see Jesus here. Let us see Jesus, and in him, let us rejoice. We have such a Savior, victorious and glorious.